Ephesians chapter 3. The Lord, this last week or so when I was praying and asking God what to talk to you about, I really felt like the Lord gave me a word of encouragement for you. Not just a word of encouragement, but a prophetic word. I felt like he said, I want to say something to the church. We do a lot of instruction around here. And I felt like today God said, I want to do some instruction, but my primary desire today is to encourage and impart something into my people. So Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 is going to be the backdrop of this word. And in this passage of Scripture, we're jumping in right in the middle, and the Apostle Paul is speaking here. And he says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given. What grace? That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by who? By the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So you get the picture here. The church is doing the speaking, and who is it speaking to? It's speaking to demonic powers, principalities and powers, darkness and rulers of the darkness of this world. And the church has something to say to them. And in the church is making known to those powers of darkness the wisdom of God. It's preaching. It's declaring. It's prophesying. And this was according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And then Paul starts to pray. Or he starts to pour out his heart. And he says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and depth and the height, to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now, if that wasn't enough, he says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works where? In heaven? In us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. As I was studying and praying, as I said this week, I felt like the Lord spoke three things to me for the house here, the house called Capstone, that God had some things on his heart that he wanted to impart to his people. The first thing that I felt like the Lord was saying to me was that God has chosen you as a people, and I'm not saying exclusively, all right? I know there are other bodies. I know there are churches that God has this same word that he's speaking it to. But God has chosen you as a corporate people and you as individuals, because after all, the church is not a building. The church is not four walls. Four walls don't obey. Four walls don't minister. All right? We are the church. The people are the church. The people make up the body of Christ. The church, the word church means called out ones. It means those that have been called out by God out of the world to live for His glory. And so the Lord is saying to us as a body, to us as individuals, that He has ordained for us to do some speaking. God has a plan for you to do some rearranging in the spirit realm. God's called the church of Jesus Christ to make the manifold wisdom of God known in the heavenly realms. In the heavenly realms and in this realm that we live in, there are principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual wickedness in high places, that are seeking to establish a kingdom that works absolutely contrary to the kingdom of our God, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of heaven. And I believe that the Lord is saying to you as an individual and to us as a corporate body that He is watching us at this point in time to see what is coming out of our mouth. I'm not just talking about rabbiting things and just saying something like somebody would push a tape recording and we just begin to spew out things. And you can say that they're just coming out by rote and not in our heart. God is saying, my people, it is time for you to get your word in my heart, because as you have your word in my heart, it will come out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Lord said, I am at a place where I'm ready to move some things around. There are things that are sitting on in authority over some things that God's ordained for the body of Christ to possess. There are kingdoms and gates that are set up that are demonic that God wants torn down. There are people that need to be touched by the Lord that God wants to touch. But He has chosen through His infinite wisdom to do all of this shifting and moving in the spirit realm through His what? Church, through His people. And God is saying, He's calling us. He's calling you. And when He's calling us, He's calling you to take a look at what's going on in your life, to let the Holy Spirit do an evaluation, and to get your heart settled. Everybody say settled. Settled on the things of God. Because if you don't get settled in the things of God, then your focus and your mouth are going to be out of tune with God, what God is saying in this hour. Now, Paul prayed, and Paul said, I have a prayer. And that prayer is that you would know the dimensions of God's love. Although you'll never get to the place where you can look at Jesus and say, well, I know everything about the love of God. He goes, man, it's so endless. We'll continually be walking into it, continually be amazed by it all of our lives. But he said, it is important that you come to the place where you open your heart to grasp the love that God has for you. I tell you, one of the problems that I see with a lot of believers that I work with is they're saved, they were rooted in love, they were grounded in love, but they don't know God's love. They don't know it. And primarily the reason that they don't know it is because they're still living in the past. They're still looking at the past to evaluate God's love and His heart for them. And when I mean the past, they're looking at their experiences and the things they've been through, and they're looking to the people in their lives. And surely, not surely, but surely people do set an example for us as to how God loves. Our parents are raised up in our lives when we're a kid to help us to know unconditional love. And therefore, their job is to do that so that when we become to the age where we can walk with Christ and begin to turn our life over to a God who's real but invisible, it is easier for us to do that because we have been able to see love in the natural realm, and it's so much easier for us to be able to put our trust in the supernatural realm. And a lot of you were not set up with a very good basis to be able to make that transition. But right now, the Lord is saying that we are at a place where He is going to begin to reveal His love to you as His people. He's going to open your eyes. But you're going to have to hunger for it. He says, I want to work in concert with you. What do you want? Do you want to know me? He said, if you want this breakthrough, it will be there for the taking, for those who are hungry enough to cry out for it and say, God, this is my great desire. I want to know the love of God that passes all understanding. Now, here's what happens. If we don't know God's love, but let's say we're believers, but we don't really understand love, then when God begins to tell us things that He wants us to do, we begin to argue in our mind against His directions. And it's not because we don't have the mental acumen to understand sometimes what He's telling us to do. The problem lies in the fact we don't know the love of God, and so we don't trust God. And so therefore, when He begins to lead us down a pathway that we don't understand, we will choose to take a different pathway. And God can't bless that, and God's heart is so much to pour out His blessing upon His people. He desires it. He wants it. And so we're in a season for those that are hungry to say, Father, show your love to me. He's going to come through and He's going to begin to reveal to you His love that He has, not just for the world, but for you. I remember one time, this was after I was born again, and I was really struggling because I didn't have a really good upbringing in a lot of ways, and especially with my dad. And my dad, my relationship's a lot better now, but back then it just wasn't that good. And it didn't set a very good foundation in my life for me to embrace God as Father. Father had a lot of negative connotations to me. Father brought up a lot of thoughts and ideas in my mind that were not good ones. And so God was working in my life. I got saved. He was walking with me in my life, but there were so many things that I was struggling with. And I would keep Him at arm's length, and I did not understand some of the concepts and some of the true realities that God has given us as His children. And I began to realize, well, one day I pulled up at the 7-Eleven to go in to get something to drink. And I got something to drink, and I was about to pull out, and the Lord spoke to me. You know, God speaks to His sheep. And I was one of His sheep. I was a sheep that didn't understand who He really was completely, but I was His sheep. And the Lord spoke to me, and He said, I am not going to deal with you anymore in the way that you're used to me dealing with you. And He said, I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to teach you something right now. From here on, I'm going to teach you something that you don't know anything about. And I said, what's that? He said, I'm going to teach you about my love. And He said, everything I do with you, everything, the motivation is going to be for you to know my love. And it scared me when He said that because I was used to being fear motivated. Anybody else understand what I'm saying? I mean, if I don't do what I should do, I'm not going to be blessed. Things are not going to go good. I'm going to be in trouble. God's going to forsake me. Da, 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 and all those other kind of things. And so that really scared me. And I said, Lord, I'm afraid for you to do that in my life. I was talking back to God. I said, I'm afraid I won't obey. And He goes, see, that just goes to show you don't know anything about love. He said, love is the greatest motivator in the world. Much greater than fear, of which you're motivated with right now. And He said, when you come to understand my love, it will not cause you to not obey. It will cause you to obey in the greatest measure. He said, people will crawl over broken glass for 2 miles out of love. And He said, I'm going to teach you. And boy, He did. He started teaching me about love. It wasn't an easy lesson for me at the beginning because I just didn't know anything about it. And all of these years, God has been teaching me and dealing with me out of love. And if we don't know God's love, we're not going to grow spiritually like we should. And we're not going to obey Him when He begins talking to us and taking us into areas that are foreign, that are new, that are scary. If we don't know His heart, we're not going to trust His hand. Okay? Because I always have a saying. I say, man, You're not going to know everything God's doing in the spirit realm. None of us are going to be able to see and know exactly everything that's moving and what's happening at one time. But when you don't know what His hand is doing, you can trust His what? His heart. But if you don't trust His heart, you're in trouble. And God is saying, this is the season that I'm knocking on the doors of people's lives. And I'm going to begin to reveal my love to them. And if you will open up your heart to me and cry out to me, He said, I'll give you revelation that will change your motivation and that will get you past the place where you are spiritually right now. And as we begin to walk in this grace, God is calling us as a church to begin to speak some things into the spirit realm and align some things, tear some things down, build some things up, move some things, and establish some things. But to be able to flow at that spiritual level, you have to know your God, because you're not going to be able to see everything you're speaking to. You're not going to be able to see everything moving as you speak to it. You're going to have to know the love of God, His power, and you're going to have to trust Him. But we're called as a church to move things in the spirit realm. All right? And to get that done, we're all going to have to be comfortable in God's love. How many of you say, I'm ready to get comfortable in the love of God? And I don't. When I say comfortable, I don't mean, well, you know, then we start flipping into greasy grace. God loves me, I can do anything I want. You've just fallen out of love. I mean, with God. It's like Rhonda said, I mean, when you're in love with the Lord, you're like, Lord, I'll do anything you tell me to do. Man, you gave your life for me. Oh, I have such a revelation of what you did on the cross. What another thing that God did to me during that period when I didn't know His love is He gave me a vision. And I would read that scripture, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The world was too big for me. I had to know His love personally. That didn't mean, it meant something to me, but it wasn't enough. One day I was praying, I had a vision, and in this vision I was standing along a street in a big crowd. And Jesus was walking down the street carrying his cross. He was beaten half to death. Blood was dripping off His face. I mean, don't want to be graphic, but it was just real. Exactly what happened. And He was just so physically tired that He just collapsed under the weight of the cross beam. He just fell down right there, right in the dirt. And I'm just standing here looking at this sight, kind of in amazement. And then all of a sudden, while He's laying there on the ground, He turns His head and He looks at me, and we lock eyes. And then all of a sudden, it's like I could just receive the message. I know you need this. I know you need it. And then I saw Him push Himself up off the ground, get the crossbeam straightened, and continue to walk on. And then, in that moment in time, I knew it wasn't just for the world. It was for me. He saw me in the back of that crowd. He knew that I needed that. And He went on up that hill for me. And you know, from that moment on, I said, God, I know you love me. You love me. And the reason some of you are disobeying is because you have not received the love of God for yourself yet. You may know that He loves Pastor Roy. You may can see why He loves Rhonda. You can't see why He loves you. You cry out to know why, you're about to have a breakthrough. Because God's got some things for us to speak to, and we're about to start speaking to them in the heavenly realm. The second thing that I felt like the Lord said to encourage you is this. Is that as you have your breakthrough in love, that God is going to begin to fill us. It is His will to fill us with all the fullness of God. Okay, think about those words. Filled. When something's filled, is it what? Is it filled? Are there any holes or places left that there's nothing in? Filled with all. How much is all? Is that everything? All the what? The fullness. Does that mean anything's left out? The fullness of God. That is a mind-blowing scripture. But And I know some of us say, I've never experienced that. Well, that doesn't mean God doesn't want to do it. And I believe that walking forward toward this end time, as we get closer to the last days here, God's ready to have a church that's filled with all the fullness of Him. The amount of glory in the church is not going to exceed the amount of fullness of God within it. And God is ready to show His glory. And for that glory to be revealed, the amount of fullness of God is going to have to come up in the house. And God said, I'm going to pour my love out on people. And when my love begins to be poured out on them, they're going to quit resisting me. And they're going to begin to open their arms to me. And when they begin to open their arms to me, I'm going to start pouring out fullness. I'm going to pour out fullness upon them. I don't even have any concept of what that means, other than I know that the Apostle Paul also wrote, when he talked about Jesus, he said, in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. You know what that means? Jesus is about to be manifest among us, in us, through us, in a way like we've never known before. And all we have to do is cry out to God to know His love and to lay everything else aside. And the third thing, to add along with that, to go along with that, he said, now, also, along with that fullness, and along with through that fullness, you being able to speak into the heavenly realms and see things move as I declare them, he said, I'm going to do exceedingly, abundantly above all you could ask or think. Now, how many of you have read the Bible? Okay? So you have a concept of some things in the Bible. God's going to do above what we've read and seen. Amen. We're going to see those things happen, but God's going to do some things that are at a place where we won't even have a name for them. Because they've never been conceived. Eye has not seen. Nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love them. But God has revealed it to them, how? By His Spirit. And we are at that hour. Brothers and sisters, God hasn't called us to be the kind of church that walks out limping along and gets into eternity as kind of an afterthought church. Well, my church started off strong. It weakened throughout the years. Had some waves of revival, some waves of glory. But then at the very end, I just had to come get them because they were such bumbling fools. I had to just get them out of the way so that I could continue to do what I'm going to do. God doesn't have a plan B. You are plan A. You are His body. And God's not some existential thing working out there as some mystical thing. He works through a body. He's got a body and He's working through the body. And as long as He's the head of that body, He can do anything in that body He wants to, as long as He's the head. And God's ready to do some things that are way above what you've thought. I'm going to tell you, there has been things happen in my lifetime I never would have dreamed. When that wall of communism came down, I never would have dreamed that. I would have said, this is going to last probably until Jesus returns. The wall came down. And I'll tell you, God has control over everything. My little grandmother used to say, the nations are like a drop in the bucket to Him. Boy, right out of the scripture. And I was a little boy, and I used to hear that and grasp that. What happened to those little boys and girls that are ready to hang on to that and say, yes, God, You can. Some of you say, I just can't believe at that level. I've been disappointed too much. God's calling people to believe. He's saying, you know, well, let's say it this way. Right after the Super Bowl, Russell Wilson, the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks, well, they were interviewing him. And he said, he told a story about something his dad had told him when he was growing up. Russell, if you look at Russell, he's not your prototypical size of an NFL quarterback. He's small. He's just different. I mean, you know, when he came out, when he was drafted, he wasn't drafted in the first round. He was drafted down later. I mean, because he wasn't the prototypical person for that position. But his dad, he said his dad used to tell him something. His dad used to look at him when he was preparing, getting ready. He'd say, Russell, why not you? He'd say, why not you, Russell? Why not you? And I'm looking at us going, why not us? Why not? Did God put all this stuff in this Bible just to make us frustrated? Or is this really what He wants to do? And you know, I don't know what it is, but when I look at you guys, I can feel the love of God that He has for you. My heart just goes, I just sense the love of the Lord that He feels for you guys in my heart. And the Lord is saying, I want to do it for you. And you can sit there and sit down and argue all you want to. Why, God, I don't think that can happen. I don't understand. We're too small. We don't have enough this. We don't have enough that. We don't have enough talented people. We don't have enough rich people. We don't have enough this. We can sit down and we can get on the ground and we can do all of that questioning. But God in His sovereign choice has ordained it. And that's all that matters. So our job is to do like David. King David, when they spoke to him about his house enduring for the entire forever and ever, and his, somebody sitting on the throne from his house, which Jesus fulfilled forever and ever. David sat down on the ground in the temple of God, and he said, Lord, I don't understand why you would choose somebody like me to do this. He said, you know me. How many of you can say, God knows me? God knows me. I mean, but you know what David finally did? He said, this isn't about me. This is about you. And he said, so therefore, here's what I say. God, fulfill your word to your servant. May your glory be seen through his house. Because my arguments as to whether or not you chose the right place, the right time, or the right people mean nothing. It's your sovereign choice. Now, I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, something's going on in the kingdom, in the spirit realm right now. I have felt it. I have felt good things going on, and at the same time, there is a war happening somewhere and with something because I feel it. I see a lot of kingdom works right now being attacked by Satan, especially a lot of them that I've been related to spiritually in my growing up days or whatever, and I can feel that war going on. It's been going on. I know I have felt it at least since the first of the year, and maybe before that. I've been feeling it. At the same time, I sense God doing something. And I sense Him saying something. And I hear Him saying, do not be distracted by that. And you're, but Lord, what about, I mean, I look at me, I've got problems and issues too. I mean, I don't, you know, and all these other people are being shaken, and if they've been shaken, surely, I mean, are we going to be able to make it? And I hear God saying, yes. Yes, you are. And not only are you going to make it, you're going to shine light of glory. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Okay? So let's don't waste our time trying to talk God out of His choices. It's good to be humble. Humility comes before honor. But let's don't waste our time trying to tell Him what to do and how to do it. And who to use and who not to use. God's chosen you. And this is His time. And He says, I've got something for you to say that's going to realign stuff in the spirit realm. And He said, but before you're going to have enough confidence to speak those things, you're going to have to be full of my love and know that I'm behind you and know that I'm with you. He said, because some things are going to be stubborn. They're not going to want to move. But as you continue to speak to them, they're going to fall in Jesus' name. And He said, I'm ready to pour out my fullness on you. And He said, I'm going to do exceedingly abundantly above what you could conceive. Isn't that the heart of God? He even told His disciples that when He left. Think about it. He said, the works that I've done, you shall do. He said, but what? Greater. He said, you're going to do things you never saw me do. And they did. They never took claws off Jesus' body and took them. Jesus' shadow never walked over people and it was healed. God, He said, it is my desire. How many of you would think that a father would like to see his son excel in his Father's grace. How many of you think a real loving father would like to see that? I'm not talking about living your life through your kids. I'm talking about just saying, I want to see my kids accept. God is a good father. And he feels, and that's the way he is, and that's what he wants. And it's all going to glorify him because we are going to know who's doing it. There's not going to be any confusion. And if you start getting confused, the leaders will get up and they'll remind you. Look, this is God. And it's not unto us, but unto his name be glory. Okay? Don't judge something either. Don't judge you or anything else by how big it is. Sometimes God uses small things to do great things. So if you've got something small at work in your life and you look at it and say it's not very big, don't worry about that. God can do great things. I'm thinking about a church here in this area that's not very far away from us right now. Church has about 30 to 50 people in it. You know, most people would, that to most people, you know what, that they would name that church, why bother? But you know what they do? They get together on a weekly basis, and their main ministry is prayer. And now I can understand why it's only 30 to 50 people. Most people don't want to pray. They want to go and get shouted at or have other things happen. But the prayer is just not on the thing. But you know what they do? They'll come up here when we're not here, and they'll pray over this building. Pastor, I know the pastor. He told me. And I'm telling you what, powerful in the kingdom. Powerful in the kingdom. Small but mighty. God's going to do some great things in this hour. And he intends to use you. What does he want us to do? He wants us to open our heart to receive his love, to quit arguing against who he is, what he wants to do in our lives, to allow him to give us a revelation of his love for us in a personal manner. Once that's done, God is ready for us. He's ready to pour out the fullness of God in us in a way that we've not seen it. As that happens, we're going to begin to speak in the spirit realm, begin to see some things move around in Jesus' name, and he's going to begin to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Okay, there's going to be things that God's going to start showing you spiritually that you're not even going to be able to put words to them. You're going to say, well, it was, I don't even know how to say this, but it was like this. It was like this. Just like the Apostle John, when God began to show him the revelation, he began, well, it was like this. It was so hard for him to put into words. He knew what he had seen. But he was seeing things that were beyond his time.